you don't like. Actually, let me make this even easier, or maybe even more difficult, because loving someone you don't like isn't easy. Sometimes I think loving someone you do like isn't that easy either. But it's a bit easier, isn't it? So let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to like someone you don't like? If you were to be honest, that's not too easy either. Sometimes it's really difficult to find something, anything to say about someone which is nice. If you were to be honest, and I'm talking about being honest, you're not really happy for their existence. You don't wish anything bad for them, but their mere existence causes you pain. I don't think that about all you City supporters, don't worry. Don't worry about But we are called to be long sufferers, patient people in the name of Jesus. That's not a fun assignment. Here's the good news. You're not alone in this mission, because we're all called to be long sufferers in the name of Jesus. And we are to be long sufferers because we've experienced the amazing, powerful love of Jesus in our lives. And because we've experienced his love, we are now commanded to love one another. Have you heard of the story of the actor who was playing the part of Christ in the Passion play in the Ozarks? As he carried his cross up the hill, a tourist began heckling and shouting insults at him. Finally, the actor had taken all he could take, so he threw down his cross, walked over to the guy and punched him. Biff. After the play was over, the director told him, "I know he was a pest, but I can't condone what you did. Besides, you're playing the part of Jesus, and Jesus never retaliated, so don't do anything like that again." The man promised he wouldn't. But the next day, the heckler was back, and worse than before. You could tell the actor was really trying to control himself, but it was about to get the best of him. He was clenching his fists and grinding his teeth. Finally, he looked at the heckler and he said, "I'll meet you after the resurrection." Can just imagine that. Listen to these words. "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." And that's from Romans chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, "Love is more important than spiritual gifts." Understand, in 1 Corinthians 12, the previous chapter, Paul was talking about spiritual gifts and ended the chapter by saying, "Now let me show you a more excellent way." This, my friends, is what is more excellent. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a chained clanging cymbal. When myself and Chris were getting married, we asked somebody to read 1 Corinthians 13 and they refused because they didn't like it. Anyway, Paul is telling us, if God gave us the gift of speaking epihuman language, even the heavenly language of angels, But if we didn't have love, then we would be nothing more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. What does that mean? Well, back in the first century, there was a big gong or cymbal hanging at the entrance of most pagan temples. When people came to worship, they hit them so that the pagan gods would wake up and listen to their prayers. Paul is telling us, even if he was so blessed that he could speak in every language but didn't have love, then his life was as useless as this ridiculous act of pounding on a gong, going to wake up non-existent gods. You know what it's like to have a child bang on pots and pans. Yes, that's what it would be like, lots of noise. You see, love is more important than the spiritual gift, even, of speaking in tongues, or other language, or in the language of angels. As Paul deals with a difference of opinion regarding food offered to idols, listen to what he wrote. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, he writes, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." The word puffs up literally means to bear oneself loftily. Swelled up like an egotistical person, spewing out arrogant, puffed up thoughts. That's what Paul means by puffed up. But on the other hand, he tells us love builds up. Love is to help someone stand strong, to encourage. And the love Paul refers to is agape, Greek word for the sacrificial love of God. The call of Christ is to love one another and not base everything off what we think we know. So if we have all knowledge but no love, we are nothing. Paul now moves on to tell us that love is more important than faith. Can you believe that? He doesn't say faith isn't important. He just says love is more important. But if you don't have love, then you're nothing. Because even faith is of no value unless it is backed up by love. Friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you get this? This is so vital to being the church of God. It's calling us to be. And the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke 10, the priest and the Levite have faith. There was no denying their faith. The problem was they were legalists with no love. So they didn't help the man in need, walked on the other side of the road and left him to die. What good was their faith when it was not backed up by love? In Galatians 5, verse 6, Paul wrote, "The only thing that counts is faith working through love." Can your faith, can your relationship with Christ compel you to love one another? Later in his letter, Paul says, "Love is more important than accomplishments and being a martyr." Verse 3 says, "And if I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." Paul's talking about real persecution and martyrdom. He's talking about being so faithful and so committed to God that you end up dying because of your faith. How deep is your faith? How deep is your commitment? Are you willing to lay down your life for God if it came to that? But Paul is saying, even if you go to church every time the front doors are open, if you stand on the street corner and preach Christ, if you go to a foreign country risking your life for Christ, and you read your Bible every day and pray and do all the things you're supposed to do, but if there's no love behind that, then Paul is right, you gain nothing. I know we hurt. I know life doesn't go the way we want it to. I get that. I've experienced it and will experience most more of it, and we all experience it to some degree. But how can we do that to one another? I just don't get it. I don't have all the answers. Frankly, most of the time, I don't think I have any of the answers. Why do we do this to one another? Why do we put one another down to build us, puff ourselves up with our opinions, our judgments, basing nothing, absolutely nothing, on love? It's all about what I prefer as opposed to the call of Christ. We'd rather have the right way to do things than the love of Christ in our hearts. We'd rather know it all than know the one who is above all. I want each person to stop and look at themselves and to consider what's more important to them. It must start with love. It's not about your knowledge, your skill, your wisdom, your generosity, your gift. It's not about that. Those are added blessings, if used for the glory of God. Otherwise, they are a deterrent from others from meeting the one true God of all. My friends, this church is all about love. Wherever you go, may you love one another. May you love the world around you, whether they are the same as you or totally different. May you demonstrate the love, grace, and joy of Christ. And as part of our communion service, I thought we'd just take a little bit of time just to have a look at ourselves and consider where we are with loving other people, those we like and those we dislike even. Let's pray.